The Feast of Our Lady of Sorrow, September 15. The reading, first reading from the letter to the Hebrew, chapter 5, verses 7 to 9. Gospel according to John, chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. The first reading, in the day of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayer and supplication with loud cry and tears to him who were able to save him from death, and he was heard for his godly fear. Although he was a son, he learned obedience to what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. The Gospel according to John. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. Sharing of the reading, first the theme. Understanding God's love for us, two important events, so that we know how to celebrate the events with love. Yesterday, we solemnly celebrate the exaltation of the cross to thank Jesus' immense love for us, expressed through his sacrificial death on the cross. Today, the church wants us to celebrate Our Lady of Sorrow, to thank Mary's sacrificial love for Jesus and for us. Because Jesus' suffering is also Mary's suffering. She is the one who is considered as the martyr without pouring out blood to witness for God. Right from the beginning of Jesus' life, when the Holy Family dedicated the child Jesus in the temple, the elder Simeon foretold what shall happen to Jesus and Mary. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thought from many hearts may be revealed." See Luke chapter 2, verse 34 and 35. Mary remembered this prophecy and meditating it all her life, from the Annunciation to Jesus' death on the cross. Today's reading concentrates on the reason of the human salvation. In the first reading, the author of the letter to the Hebrew emphasized Jesus' obedience to his Father is the reason for the human salvation. Although he was a son, he learned obedience to what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. In the Gospel, Jesus showed the depth of his love for humankind by accepting his sacrificial death on the cross. Not only that, but he also devised a wonderful exchange between his mother, the Blessed Mary, and his beloved disciple who represent for the church. Both are courageously stand at the foot of the cross to show their love for Christ. Analysis of the reading, the first reading. He will hurt for the godly fear. Throughout the letter to the Hebrew, the author heavily stressed on the ideal model for the faithful to follow, who is Jesus. He is the perfect model of the high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, because he offered his perfect sacrifice only once, and now he is standing at the right hand of God to intercede for us forever. In today's passage, the author illustrates Jesus as the ideal model for obedience to God. First point, Jesus' suffering and death led him to glory. First, Jesus obeyed his Father in all things. People often doubt about the one who they church because there are many reasons for their doubting. Either they doubt about the love which others have for them, or doubt about the authority which others have is not enough to protect them in adversity. Jesus completely trusted his Father because he believed in his Father's love for him, and especially of his Father's power, which no one can resist or overcome it. Because of this, he courageously accepts all suffering, even death. He knows his Father shall vindicate and give him the glory over all power in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Second, he trusted his Father's plan of salvation. Jesus strongly believed in his Father's plan of salvation. In John, Jesus knew the hour which he died on the cross. It also the hour which this plan of salvation is completed. Therefore, he did not fear, but wished this hour to come for his Father's will to be done. Second point, to faith in Jesus, people shall inherit salvation. First, there is no other way for people to have salvation. According to St. John and St. Paul, there is no way people can have salvation except to believe in Christ. Some people advertise that salvation can be achieved by learning and keeping of the law. If this is possible, then Jesus' coming and his sacrifice shall be meaningless. Since no one can perfectly keep the law, therefore, all need Jesus to die for their sin to inherit salvation. Second, Jesus is the source and the reason for people's salvation. Jesus knew the hour he died on the cross shall bring about the salvation for people in the past, at present, and in the future. He needs only one offering, his sacrifice for all. So no matter how painful of the person and the dead are, he is willingly to accept so that he will bring countless souls to the Father. The gospel, women, behold your son, behold your mother. Third point, those who are faithful standing at the foot of the cross. First, the four women. At the foot of the cross, there were only four women, and three of them have the name Mary. Let us try to identify the four persons. First is the Blessed Mary, whom the evangelist called her his mother. Second, the author called her his mother's sister, but not identify her name. If we compare with the synoptic, this person is Salome, the mother of James the younger and Joseph. See Mark chapter 15, verse 30 and 16, verse 1. The third one will call Mary the wife of Clopas. Some identify this Clopas with Cleopas, one of the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. But this hypothesis is not well supported. The last one will call Mary Magdalene. She came from the town called Magdala, whom Jesus healed from the seven devils. See Luke chapter 8, verse 2. There is only one man stood by the cross with the four women whom the author called the disciple whom Jesus loved. Who is this disciple? There are at least two opinions. Some say this one is John, his disciple. Why the author wants to conceal his identity? It may be because he is humble. This opinion is accepted by the most. Some say it can be anyone who recognizes Christ is loved by him. The purpose why John writes his gospel is for everyone to recognize Christ and believe in him. Therefore, he would like to express the idiom, the disciple there whom he loved, to indicate anyone who is loved by Jesus. There are not many who accepted this opinion. Why is there only one stood at the foot of the cross? Many people think because all other disciples were too scared for their safety, so they ran away. Others think the reason why there are four women at the foot of the cross because Rome and the Sanhedrin were not worried about women as in many other nations. This opinion makes sense, but the true reason is the person loved Jesus more than others. They stayed because they loved Jesus and would like to be with him at the last moment of his life on earth. Second point, the mystical exchange at the foot of the cross. Jesus did not worry about his death, but he concerned about those who are still living in the world. This is the reason why he arranged the wonderful and mystical exchange at the foot of the cross. Third, Jesus gave his mother to people. He said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Why did Jesus use the word woman? Gunai in Greek here. Saint Bernard offered the interesting explanation here. He says, "Since Mary is Jesus' mother according to the flesh, because she bore and gave birth to him, so no one can call Mary mother except Jesus. People can call Mary mother because Jesus wanted them to, and understand it according to the spiritual meaning. Some say because Jesus no longer took care of his mother, he found for her the disciple who can take care of her for him. This is not the main reason. Jesus would like his mother to become the mother of all humankind. The disciple is only the representative for all. The Blessed Mary is not only the disciple mother, she is also the mother of all humankind." Second, Jesus set Mary as the mother of all. He said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." Jesus does not only want Mary to be the mother of all, but he also wants all accept Mary as their mother. Because if both sides agree to exchange, both will benefit from it. To show his agreement, the disciple welcomed her to his house from that time on. If one thing according to the human standard, the exchange would benefit Mary more because she had the disciple to take care of her the rest of her life. But if one thing according to the spiritual standard, Mary would be the sorrowful mother all her life. From that time on, Mary must endure all suffering of humankind. Many say that is the reason why the Blessed Mother always cry, not smile, when she appears in most of her apparition. Finally, we can say that this wonderful exchange at the foot of the cross shall benefit humankind more than for Mary. Because as the mother of humankind, she will have compassion and effectively intercede for people during their time of suffering and temptation. Application in life. Obedience to God like Jesus should be the ideal model for our life to imitate, because no one loves us like him and have power over all things like him. Glory can only be achieved through suffering. The more one must go through suffering, the more glory that one shall have. As Jesus, we should wish to endure more suffering for others to reaching salvation. Each time we look up on the cross, we should remember Jesus' wonderful exchange so that we know how to love God, Mary, and all of our brothers and sisters. All of us become members of God's household and have a duty to help others in needed moments. Amen.